The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 6 degrees and partly cloudy here in Montreal. I'm Vanessa Ippolito, and here are today's headlines. It's been a year since we went into lockdown for the first time. We'll take a look back on the COVID timeline. There have been some big coaching changes with the Montreal Canadiens, but are they working? And we'll introduce you to Montreal's two new furry feline friends. The province has just released the latest COVID-19 numbers. 792 new cases were confirmed yesterday. Montreal makes up approximately 368 of those cases. 112 people are currently in intensive care. This is an increase of 2 from the previous day. 18,101 vaccinations were administered. This week marks 1 year since Premier François Legault declared a public health emergency in the province. Our reporter Olivia Pichet has a story of the major changes the province has seen since then. Hi, Olivia. What do you have to report on the changes COVID-19 has brought to Quebec this past year?
Hi, Vanessa. This week, Quebecers over the age of 65 will be eligible to receive COVID-19 vaccines. However, over the past year, conditions surrounding the pandemic have not always seemed so hopeful. As of today, 1 year ago, Quebec had only 7 confirmed COVID-19 cases, a number that concerned many people across the province. On March 11, 2020, the World Health Organization declared the spread of the virus a pandemic. This week marks 1 year since Quebec schools were ordered to close, an announcement François Legault made on the 13th of March. The following day, it was declared that Quebec was in a state of emergency. The next day, gyms and bars were ordered to close, and restaurant dining rooms had to decrease their capacity to 50%. Quebec saw its first death caused by the virus on March 19th. In the days to follow, Quebec banned all indoor and outdoor gatherings, and malls, restaurants, and personal care salons were all ordered to close. On March 24th, Quebec's confirmed COVID-19 cases surpassed 1,000. Just over 2 weeks later, the number of cases jumped to over 10,000. In the month of April, most stores began to close on Sundays, and police got the green light to issue fines up to $1,000 to those not abiding by the new restrictions. By April 21st, Quebec reported over 20,000 confirmed cases, and the province saw the grim 1,000 mark for the amount of COVID-19 deaths.
Would you say that life for Quebecers ever went back to normal this year?
Well, Vanessa, I think we can all agree nothing was normal this past year, but I'd say most Quebecers saw a shift towards a more normal life when restrictions began to ease last June. On June 15th, dining rooms were allowed to reopen and gatherings of 10 were allowed across the province, except for the regions of Greater Montreal, Joliette, and L'Épiphanie, who had to wait an additional week. Personal care businesses, however, were allowed to reopen in those regions that day.
As of now, Montreal is still under strict restrictions. When did the second wave arrive in the province?
Well, on August 27th, some Quebec students went back to in-class learning, and by September 4th, Quebec announced 50 education institutions with confirmed COVID-19 cases. October 1st, Montreal, Quebec City areas, and Chaudière-Appalaches were all declared as red zones, which meant gyms, bars, and restaurants were ordered to close once again. However, things seem to be going slightly better since October 1st. In Quebec, the first vaccine was administered to a woman December 14th. Now, numbers seem to be decreasing, and as of Monday, all of Quebec is made up of orange zones, except for Montreal and its surrounding regions.
All I have to say is I hope we're not in it for another year. Thanks, Olivia.
Me neither, Vanessa. Thank you.
That was our reporter, Olivia Pichet. Montreal's Phi Centre is currently showcasing the work of 10 local artists that explores what it's been like to live in isolation over the past year. The collective installment is called Parallel Lines. Our reporter, Reina Ifrahim, has a story.
The Phi Centre in Montreal's Old Port invites art enthusiasts to explore 10 pieces that depict what life in quarantine has been like for the city's art community. These pieces are all part of Phi's first virtual residency, Parallel Lines, which aims to define the struggles that artists have faced in isolation. The 10 pieces consist of multiple art forms to allow visitors to interact with their pieces. The artists' experiences in isolation are reflected in their work. One artist, Nicolas Roy, wants his artwork to evoke a sense of hopefulness to visitors of the exhibit.
This one was done specifically because we were all confined and we wanted to find a way to say something about the situation, but also bring a little joy in this, you know, pretty dark episode. So the goal was to reach as many people as possible.
Naghmi Sharifi's work is also on display. She says she used the elements in her surrounding living space at home to draw inspiration in her paintings.
I started recording the instances, and the instances were of these, like, you know, basically moments of confinement, in isolation, anxiety, self-care. I was recording objects and elements that were seeing me through this time. So there were basically objects and elements that are mainly considered banal and mundane.
Parallel Lines is meant to reimagine the way we have experienced the pandemic at home. The experiences reflected in the artist's work redefines the term isolation, and people are encouraged to mold their individual experiences in confinement as one of many. Parallel Lines will remain on display for in-person visits until June 15th, and is also accessible as a free virtual tour on FI's website. Reina Ephraim, Concordia News, Montreal.
Today marks exactly 2 weeks since the big shakeup in the coaching staff for the Montreal Canadiens. Our reporter, Maria Buabdo, has a story.
2 weeks ago, the Canadiens fired head coach Claude Julien and associate coach Kirk Mueller. They appointed Dominique Ducharme as interim head coach and Alex Burrows as assistant coach. A week ago, general manager Marc Bergevin also fired goalie coach Stéphane Waite and hired Sean Burke as the new director of goaltending. They say these changes were made because the team needed a new voice. It seems to be working, but it might take more time to see any big changes. The Canadiens have only won 2 of their first 6 games with Ducharme and Burrows, but there has been a lot of improvement in the way they're playing. Carey Price has also been looking a lot better his last 3 games, only allowing 1 goal each game. He also made some incredible saves on Monday. Burrows, who's in charge of the power play, changed the units, and it has led them to score 5 in 5 of their 11 power plays in these 6 games with him. It's mostly the first unit that's been producing, so there might be more changes to come regarding the second unit. The Canadiens will be facing the Vancouver Canucks tonight after losing 2-1 against them on Monday. The game will be starting at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. There were big changes in lineups in practice yesterday, which could mean different lines tonight. Philippe Danault is the only forward who still hasn't scored a goal. He was moved from second to third line, meaning Hispericut Kanyami was moved to the second line. Yoel Armia and Josh Anderson also switched places, making Anderson a first-liner and Armia a third-liner. Anderson had many scoring chances last game, which could have been one of the reasons for this change. However, the first defensive pairing of Ben Chiarot and Shea Weber has remained the same since the beginning of the season. This has raised many questions because it doesn't seem to be working well, yet no changes are being made. But all these other changes could suggest a change coming soon for this pair. Maria Buabdo, Concordia News, Montreal.
Is winter almost over? The weather in Montreal has been significantly warmer over the past while. Despite a few cold days, the sun has been out and shining. Many people have been out and about doing outdoor activities. The shifts in weather temperatures make people question if they should wear their spring attire. However, there is good news for Montrealers. According to CTV weather specialist Lise McCauley, we can expect a mild spring this year in comparison to past years. The first official day of spring is March 20th, and don't forget to mark your calendars. The time moves forward an hour for daylight saving times, and it begins this Sunday. Everyone has heard about white and red wine, but have you heard about orange wine? Our reporter, Lauriane Tremblay, is here to teach us about this new trend. Hi, Lauriane. Can you tell us more about what orange wine is?
Hi, Vanessa. Yes, absolutely. Orange wines stand out because of their beautiful orange color and their bold taste. The name and color of this kind of wine could lead us to think it's from oranges, but no, it's actually made out of white grapes. What gives it its color and distinct taste is the way the fruits macerate. The maceration is the process of fermenting. So in this case, the grapes are put into a large ceramic or cement vessel with the skin and seeds and are left fermenting for sometimes over a year. This practice is actually up to 5,000 years old.
That's very interesting. Would you have any recommendations for us?
Sure. The thing you need to know first is that they are very different from a white wine you may be used to. Orange wines are sometimes more or less sour, sometimes fruity, even sometimes dense and syrupy. It all depends on the bottle you try. They tend to be more on the pricier side, but you don't have to spend too much to find great ones. My first recommendation is the Enrosato 2019. It's a great bottle for someone trying out orange wine for the first time. This Spanish wine is soft and has notes of fruits and flowers. The best part is it's only $16 at the SAQ. The second wine I recommend is the Mainklang 2020 from Austria. This is the perfect bottle for the upcoming spring. It's fresh, light, and has just the perfect amount of acidity. It's really a must try. The bottle sells for $22 at the SAQ. My last recommendation is for orange wine lovers who don't mind spending a little more and want to try something new. The Menti 2018 arrived not too long ago at the SAQ. This Italian wine is natural. That means nothing is added or removed from the wine. It looks very unique and promising. I have a bottle myself. It sells for $38. So yeah, next time you swing by an SAQ, go check out their orange wine section.
Great. Thank you, Lauriane.
Thank you, Vanessa.
That was our reporter, Lauriane Tremblay. The S.W. Welch bookstore will remain open for at least the next 2 years due to a change of heart. The owner and the real estate company were able to negotiate a compromise after the landlord attempted to raise the Mile End bookstore's rent by 150%. This Saturday, there will be a protest organized by a community organization in the Mile End to support the bookstore. They are asking people to join a socially distanced lineup to enter the bookstore and bring a book to read while waiting to get inside. They want people to gather in support of the Mile End's history, culture, and small business owners. As of now, according to the Facebook event, there are almost 600 people who are planning to attend. We may not have baby sharks in Montreal, but we do have baby leopards. Two new baby leopards have made its way to the Granby Zoo and made it their new home. The zoo announced the birth of the two new baby leopards at the beginning of the week. The cubs were born to the first-time mother, Hope. Granby Zoo said on Facebook that Hope and her cubs are being well cared for. They are being kept isolated away from other animals to ensure their safety. The zoo is proud to have the new cubs since leopards are considered to be endangered. Leopards have the widest range of habitats among big cats, and they can be found all around the world. That's your news to 1144. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Vanessa Polito.